Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Holding Fast to Faith. I'm your host, Brett Hill, and Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised." It's time, once again, to learn about and lean on some of God's faithful promises. So grab your Bibles, clear your hearts, and prepare your minds to receive the precious Word of God. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Holding Fast to Faith. I'm your host, Brett Hill, and today we have a great message coming out of the book of Exodus, chapter 27. Just have one verse, verse number 20 today. So if you don't have your Bible, pause the podcast, run, get your Bible, come back and join us. The title of the message today is Check the Oil. Check the Oil, coming out of Exodus chapter 27, verse number 20. I'm in the King James Version of the Bible today. So starting out with just verse number 20, "And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always." I want to read that one more time for you. "And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always." Listen, folks, I want to tell you today that God is indicating right here that it is the people's responsibility to bring the oil into the house of God. We've spoken many a times in the past on this podcast and in other places where you need to understand already, you should understand already, that you yourself as a Christian are the vessel. You are the living quarters of the Holy Ghost. You are the temple of God Himself. And He moves into you when Christ moves into you, and you become the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Scripture says. And so what He's saying is it's your responsibility. When you come into the house of God, He wants you to be the ones bringing the oil into the house of God. So if you want to see the fire, you want to see the light of the world, God working in the house of God, in your services, He is saying bring the fuel that fires that thing up into the house with you, and don't be waiting on somebody else to be the one that fires up the fire for you and gets the light burning for you. Don't be trying to get into somebody else's oil. Come on. We want to make sure that when we walk through the door, that the fire that we are looking for, the oil that we are bringing with us, is going to fuel the fire of God in us and keep the light burning for us. Amen. Church, the entire chapter here is about God Himself laying out His tabernacle according to His desires and not man's desires. And this speaks volumes about whose authority we submit to and whose desire we should be totally willing to be led by. God our Father has a purpose for everything that He expects from us. And most assuredly, here in this particular passage, He wants a lamp burning. He gave very specific details about this lamp that should always be burning. And that He wants a fire going on in His house all the time. He wants the light lit. And just like with the seven virgins, the parable of the seven virgins that had the extra oil, and the other came in, and these other virgins, they didn't have enough oil, so they tried to borrow some oil from the seven that had extra oil, and they said, "You know where the commissary is. You go get your own oil. We don't know when the bridegroom is coming, and we may run out if we lend you some oil." The first thing you need to realize is the oil is your responsibility. That's what this scripture is saying here today. You need to carry the fuel that keeps the lamp lit with you at all times. So we're going to look at some points here today. And the very first thing we need to recognize is that God commanded that the people be the ones bringing in the oil. He said, "Thou shalt command the children of Israel." Put yourself in there. Put your name, put your family, put your relatives in there. Put your church, your congregation in there. And God commanded your church, the people of your church, to bring the oil in themselves. And so it is the responsibility of the people to provide the oil for the continually burning of the lamp, to keep the light on, to keep the oil going and keep the fire of God running. Why? The answer to this is found in the very next verses. He says, "The priest Aaron and his sons shall order it from evening to morning before the Lord, and it shall be a statute forever. So he's saying that the priest, the pastor, the evangelist, whoever is in the pulpit needs to remind people that if you want to see a move of God, if you want to see the light of God lit up in your altars and in your services, that it is your responsibility when you come through the door to bring the fuel that it takes to make that fire light up, to keep the fuel going inside that light and to keep it burning bright. That is our responsibility as the people of God to carry that oil. And then we see the purpose for this. It says, unto their generations on behalf of the children of Israel. So we see that the purpose for us carrying the oil, not just so that we could experience God's presence and not so that we could always have a light in our life, but it is our responsibility to bring in the fuel to keep the lamp burning, because it's for the benefit of our next generation, for our children and for our children's children. Why am I saying that? Because we need to see that those children are watching us. We need to understand that they're doing what we do and not what we say. They need to see our example of living for God the Father and serving God. They need to see their parents coming to church with them, not dropping them off for Sunday school and then going home and watching the football game. They need to see you with your hands in the air. They need to see you knelt down at the altar of God praying. They need to see the tears of humility running down the side of your face when you're praying for God to touch you and praying for God to touch your family. People, your kids need to see you living the life for God and setting the example. So he's saying, God's telling the people that your consistency and dedication to keeping this oil in my house will serve as a lasting statute, a testament, if you will, a demonstration of commitment to me and to your family. So you need to be the one setting the example. Not just attending worship, but you actually being the one keeping the fire going. You're the ones who bring the oil in every service. You bring the Spirit of God in every service. You are the temple of the Lord, and the Holy Spirit resides in you. So if you want to see the Spirit move in your church, make sure you bringing Him in with you. And you don't need to depend on someone else to keep the lamp lit. And what I'm saying here in good old country boy terms, if you will, you want to see the light burning in God's house, you make sure you're the ones bringing the fuel in to keep it lit. Amen. Now, the second thing that I want to bring up here today is that God said to bring the oil in pure. Don't let that oil get mingled with something else. Don't let it get trash in it. Don't let it get mixed up with other stuff. It represents the Holy Spirit of God Almighty Himself, and there should be no other purpose for entering in the house of God. We shouldn't come to church to see how many people are here. We don't need to come in to see if Sister So-and-so is going to get her shout on during the third course of I'll Fly Away. Or many people, they even have their agendas and ulterior motives for coming to church. They got all kinds of different reasons why. But look, not everybody walks through the doors of the church to come through it for the very sole purpose of just bringing in the oil to make sure that the light is lit. Well, Pastor, what are you saying? Are you saying we? Well, yes, I am saying it. Many different people have different motivative things. They're motivated by different things to attend church services. Some people only come for singing. Some people only come so they can sing. Some people only come so that their girlfriend can be seen, or so that they can see their girlfriend, or some come looking for a girlfriend or a boyfriend, trying to find one at church. Some people even come to find out if the preacher is going to get wild and crazy in the middle of the service. And some people get to come to find out if there's anything that they can hear at church to talk about over lunch after church. Amen? Come on now, I'm just getting real with you. Not everybody comes through the doors with just the oil. Not everybody brings in just the pure oil. God says, I want it pure. Sure, these other folks that you see in the church, they'll get their praise on here and there, but it isn't always because of the oil that they brought with them. That light that shines on them comes from somebody else's oil and not their own. And when they get outside of the church, they're in darkness. Why? Because it wasn't their light shining inside of them. It was somebody else's light illuminating them while they were in the house of God. God is saying that it is my commandment to you to come into my house with thanksgiving, enter into my courts with praise, and bring your own oil and set the example for the next generation to follow. After all, it's your descendants that are going to benefit from you setting the ample example and having the oil of the Holy Spirit in your life at all times. You see, if we take my children, for example, my children, they're in church and they follow the leadership of what they've saw mama and daddy do. I didn't bring my children to church and drop them off and say, I'll be back after Sunday school's over. No, we've been taking our kids to church. They've been seeing mom and daddy raise their hands and they're seeing the real tears of God running down my face and running down their mother's face. And as we worship, we sing and we fall on our knees in prayer and we come in and we set the example of what we want to see them do. They learn by what they see us doing, not by what we tell them to do. Our kids are watching God work in our lives. They watch God heal us. They watch God's anointing on our lives. They watch God work miracles in our lives, and they see the example being set before them. That's what we need to do in our lives. The next generation depends on you bringing the oil in. They need to see how it is done. They need to see that the church of tomorrow, the church that's going to come for the next generation, needs somebody setting an example for them today to show them what thus saith the Lord is, and show them what real praise and what real worship looks like. And it is our responsibility, is what Moses was writing there in Exodus chapter 27. He's telling us it's your responsibility. We are the ones that's supposed to bring it in. Don't be waiting for somebody else to stir you up. Don't be waiting for somebody to get their anointing on and rub off on you. Oh, sister and so-and-so shouts on that third chorus of I'll Fly Away, I'll jump up and shout with her. But if she don't shout, I won't shout. See, that just gives you the doorway for Satan to step in and shut down your praise in the middle of a worship service because you waiting for a feeling. You waiting on somebody else to get you stirred up. Don't be waiting on a feeling. He died. Died for you. Jesus died for you. He shed his blood for you. He's the one that gave you the opportunity for you to be able to have the anointing that can come into the house and get on you. And you don't need to be waiting on somebody else to rub off on you. Set the table. Be the first one to jump up and shout and say, Jesus. Be the first person to throw your hands up and say, I praise you, Lord God. See, we're here we are on the tail end of these scriptures because here the whole Bible has been written. When Moses and the children of Israel were out there in the wilderness and they were looking and dealing with this, and they're saying, hey, what about this oil? What's the purpose of this oil and all this stuff? They didn't understand that now, but we understand it now because we've seen it. We've seen the upper room experience. We saw how Paul wrote about things, but listen, we can look back in hindsight and understand some things that they didn't understand. What am I saying? God was painting a picture of Christ to come as he was having the Israelites look at this oil and come through here and make sure they're supplying the oil. And that brings me to my third point. God doesn't want any old oil. Not any old oil will do. So he says, not only does it need to be pure, but the olive needs to be beaten in order for the oil to flow. You see what it says? It needs to be pure oil, beaten. The olive needs to be beaten. God's specific points right here that he's trying to make, it points toward none other than the crucifixion of Jesus Christ that Isaiah was saying when he wrote. He said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. And he says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us has messed up. Every one of us has been in a place and time in our life to where we've gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way, doing our own thing. But the Bible says right here, as Isaiah continues to write, he says, the Lord hath laid on him, Jesus Christ, the Lord has laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all, the sins of us all. All of our transgressions have been laid upon Jesus, and he continues to say that Jesus was oppressed. You might say when he was oppressed and he was afflicted, maybe you could say he was crushed, he was bruised, he was beaten. Yet he opened not his mouth, and he was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. Why? Because God was trying to impute something to us for us to understand that when we walk through the doors of the church, we need to understand what the Israelites were seeing back then when they didn't know who Jesus was. And that beaten olive and bringing that oil in there was what we were seeing a picture of in the future, because Jesus brought us something when he was beaten on the cross, when the nails was put in his hand and his blood ran down the side of that cross. It was he that gave the provision for that upper room experience when the 11 disciples and 109 other people was all in one mind and one accord, and they were there surrounding a light. There was a light on inside of the room, and all of a sudden a rushing mighty wind moved in, and the oil that Jesus provided for us through the baptism of the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they were fueled with power to overcome, fueled with power to give their testimony. It was, listen, church, you need to understand that the source of your oil is important. Where you get your oil is important. It can't just be any old oil. And the beating of Jesus Christ, the bruising of Jesus Christ, so to make sure that we could get that oil that was extracted from his beating, that's where it's coming from today. The true oil that keeps the flame burning was provided by the beating that Jesus took, and these olives that Moses is writing about here in Exodus is saying that this is a picture of Christ to come, that his flesh, that olive colored skin, is going to be beaten for your bruising, for your transgressions. So I want to remind you, carry the spirit that Jesus paid such a price to provide for you. Don't mix it with agendas. Don't mingle it with some sort of religion and some other purpose other than just walking into the church with that pure oil that's been beaten and bruised, flowing from the spirit of a slaughtered Lamb of God. Listen, church, I want to tell you a story that went back when my wife and I were traveling. We had our kids and we were going around the country and singing and preaching all over the country. And we were knocking out 200 dates a year all over the United States. And we would go from place to place. We were in Fort Worth, Texas one time. And it was a really bad storm going on. It was ice and snow and sleet. And we were pulling that 35-foot fifth-wheel camper trailer with that 1992 Dodge truck. We were leaving Fort Worth, and the pastor there where we was at was saying, you need to really be careful on your way to Louisiana. It's getting real icy out that direction, and it's going to be bad weather. And so we said, yeah, we need to get moving. And I had to be at a place right there in Louisiana across the state line to preach at 9 o'clock that morning in a church. And I'll never forget it because it was such an event that went on. The wind was blowing. The sleet was blowing. Those little windshield wipers on that truck couldn't keep it off. The windshield was freezing up. And so we're poking along and barely keeping that thing on the road, and had to get into Louisiana. And long about 2 a.m., we pull up in the church parking lot where we're supposed to be. And I told my wife and the kids to go ahead and get in the camper. I was going to go fire up the generator and get the heat going. And we had this 8,500-watt Black Max Honda generator that usually you just give one little bitty crank on the rope and it would fire that thing up and the whole camper would be warm in no time. Well, I went back there and I pulled that rope and nothing happened. I'm standing out there in 10 degree weather and nothing's happening. And I'm like, man, what is wrong with this thing? You know, I pulled the choke and I cranked it and I thought, man, I should never have to choke this thing. But maybe it's just because of the weather. So I choked it and pulled the string and pulled the rope a few more times. Nothing was going on. And I just pulled and pulled and pulled, and really getting frustrated. And you know, a preacher can really get himself challenged to make sure he's not getting angry and start saying things he shouldn't be saying and getting mad and acting out in a way he shouldn't be acting out. But I pulled on this rope for at least 45 minutes in that really cold weather, knowing that my family's inside that camper about to freeze to death waiting on me, and for 45 minutes straight I pulled and I pulled and I pulled and I can't get anything to happen, and I'm just praying and going, God, what in the world is wrong with this thing? And I'm wearing myself out, I'm sweating, and the sweat's starting to freeze on me because of the cold weather. And so I finally gave up on the getting the generator to power up and turn on the light. So I went inside and got another source of power. I had to turn on the gas on the stove and let the stove bring us light and bring us heat. So I had to turn to some other power source besides the generator. And so I went on, long story short, I went on and preached, and we got back home in a couple of days, and I pulled that camper right up to my dad's shop, and I went in and started talking to my dad, and I said, Dad, I don't know what's wrong with this generator. I have pulled and I pulled and I pulled and it just won't start. I like to kill myself cranking on that rope. And he says, well, son, did you check the oil? And I said, what do you mean check the oil? He said, son, you need to check the oil. You can pull and pull on that rope, but you know, if the oil level is low, you got to get to pouring some oil if you want the power. And I thought, what is he talking about? And so my dad, he had his own source of oil. He had his own oil. He pulled out a bottle of oil. He walked out there and pulled the dipstick. And he began to pour in some oil. He didn't put but maybe 2 ounces, maybe three, in the generator. And he pulled that rope just a little half tug, and that thing fired back up. He said, son, if you want the power to be running, you got to have the oil. And so listen, I want to tell you today, some of you keep pulling on that rope and nothing's happening. Some of you keep tugging and tugging on life's rope and on these things that's going on in your life. You keep tugging and pulling at the rope that the world has to offer. All your frustrations, all your anxieties, and all your troubles and the things that you're facing on a daily basis, you just keep tugging on that rope and you can't seem to generate the power within yourself to keep the light burning. You're praying all the right prayers, you're repeating all the right words, and still can't seem to get the power to come on. And the biggest problem you got is you're not listening to Daddy, because Daddy's saying, check the oil, son. Check the oil, daughter, because if you don't have the oil in your life, if your oil is running low, the things are going to beat you to death, and you can pull on that rope all you want to. You can keep tugging on life's rope and nothing's going to change, because you got to have something that will take care of the struggles you're going through, and it requires the oil. You got to have the power of the Holy Ghost in your life to keep from pulling on life's rope and not seeing any change. You need to find the oil again, my friend. You need to be searching for the oil. Check your oil. Cause your lamp to burn from now on. Let that thing be lit up and never let your oil run dry. God is telling you today, somebody out there is listening to me, you're struggling, you're facing things in your life, and you just keep tugging on the rope, fighting it the same way. You keep trying to deal with it and deal with it and deal with it the same way the world's asking you to deal with it. And you need to just stop and check your oil. Get down on your knees and ask God to start dealing with you. Lord, I'm running low. Could you fill me up? Lord, I'm kind of running low on oil today. I need your Holy Spirit to move into my life and change some things for me today. I'm just having some struggles and only you can fix it. Lord, would you just fill me back up? Holy Spirit, would you move into my life and take care of this low thing that I got going on in my life? I'm feeling down and out. I'm feeling low. My level of confidence is down. My strength is down. My generator ain't running inside, God. Could you fill it up for me? Somebody needs to hear this word today. You need to realize that your oil is low, and you need to get down on your hands and knees and say, Lord, I need the Holy Spirit to come in and give me a refreshing. I need you to come in and light me back up, Lord. I need you to fill me again. Oh, let me pray with you today. Because if that's you, you need to find yourself a place to kneel down. Make an altar out of something right where you are. If you're traveling down the road, pull over on the side of the road. Find you a picnic table. Or kneel down on a bumper of your car. Pull off at a car or truck stop or somewhere. If you're at home, kneel down by your bed or on your couch. But listen, make an altar somewhere and say, God, I've had it. I've had it with pulling on the rope of life's troubles and not being able to get anywhere. Lord, could you come into my life again? And Lord, could you fix this thing? Could you refill me? Could you give me a fresh anointing to face these things that I'm facing? Let me pray with you today. Heavenly Father, God, I'm asking you right now for all the people that's listening, everybody out there that's pulling on life's rope, that's in a tug of war with the enemy right now, God, that they keep pulling and they keep fighting and the struggles are real and they can't seem to get anything going. God, I pray that you help them right now. Let your precious Holy Spirit fill them up, Lord. Let your anointing come upon their life, Father. Bring change that they need. Bring the change that they need in their life, Lord, to make a difference. Fill the oil back up, God. Light their lamps, God. In the name of Jesus, God, I pray that you move in. Let your Holy Spirit bring the intervention that is needed. God, let the peace that surpasses all understanding come up on them. God, pull the rope on their generator in the name of Jesus. Fill them up with oil. Bring the power back to their life, Lord. And God, give them understanding to follow you and the wisdom, Lord, to listen to everything that you have to say. And God, most of all, let that precious Holy Spirit lead and guide them, Father. Let that precious anointing of your Holy Spirit, God, be the leader for them, Lord. Let it be the fuel that keeps their fire lit from now on. In Jesus' holy name, I pray and ask it. Amen and amen. Listen to me. If that's been you, if you needed a refreshing from the Lord today, you need to be praying that. Don't give up. Get down on your hands and knees every time that you have some anxiety come across your heart, every time that you have a worry come across your mind. Don't stop praying. Don't stop believing. Don't stop asking God for the oil. Tell Him to fill me up, Lord. That precious oil represents the Holy Spirit of God's anointing. You need to ask for it. You need to be filled with the precious Holy Spirit and let that anointing move in your life and change your circumstances in Jesus' name. He may not take your circumstances away, but He will walk through them with you. And the oil, the Holy Spirit, God's anointing coming upon your life will change the situation because He's there. It will be a different situation as He walks through that trouble with you. In the name of Jesus, it'll be different. And He'll bring you out on the other side. He's faithful that He promised. He's faithful when He tells you He'll do a thing. He'll follow through with it. He's a faithful God. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in today, and we'll see you on the next one.